We looked last week at two very different ends. We brought a message by that title and looked at two men. First, we looked at the religious man, found in Matthew 7. And of course, the religious man found in Matthew 7 was amongst the multitude of disciples. In the context of Matthew 7, he had a multitude of followers, and the Lord sat himself on the edge of a mountain and began to teach them. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he is teaching these followers. And in Matthew 7, he turns and says something pretty shocking considering the group that's listening. He said, "There is this broad way that leads to destruction, and many, in dealing with this group that's there in front of him, many will go that way of destruction, that broad way." And he said, "Then on the other hand, there's a narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find that." And he fairly quickly transitions into, "There will be many that come to me at that day, the day they stand before him, and say, 'Lord, Lord, we have done this, we have done that.' When they are pressed up against the wall, they rest upon the things that they have done in this life and say, 'But Lord, I did this and I did that.'" We might not say that same things. We wouldn't say probably, "Lord, I cast out demons," or "I've done this," or "I've done that." But we might say, "Lord, I was baptized in your name." And we might say, "Lord, I was a member of ABC Church." Lord, and you just fill in the blank. And that fits what the Lord was saying in Matthew 7. There'll be many that come. Basically, he said this: many that come resting in their own merit, resting in their own effort. And the end of that was, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." Then we looked at the thief on the cross next to the Lord Jesus Christ. A man who is obviously a wicked man, tried and found guilty of wicked deeds, sentenced to the worst death the Roman people could come up with, crucifixion on the cross. And as he looked at his mortality, and as he looked at that day that he would stand before the Lord, and as he looked at that day that he would die very, very soon, he didn't come to the Lord with any, "I did this and I did that." He came to the Lord with, "Remember me. You're the king entering into your new kingdom. When you enter into your new kingdom, remember me. Think of me with pity and mercy, for that's the only hope I have. I come to you bringing nothing. I have nothing. I am nothing. King Jesus, remember me." Now, the words that he heard, having nothing to offer of his own, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." What a contrast to the words of the Lord in Matthew 7. What a contrast. One, an amazing thing to hear. Think of the thief on the cross who hears, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Think of those that stand before the Lord, quite sure that their deeds were good enough in this life that he would surely allow them entrance into his realm, only to hear, and here's the title, the most terrible words ever heard. The most terrible words ever heard: "Depart from me." A religious individual, in the case of Matthew 7, They had preached and they had done all sorts of things. And they were quite sure their lives were right with the King of Heaven. And they hear the words, "Depart from me." Go back there to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we see that account. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today realizing we truly do offer nothing, bring nothing, and deserve no mercy. We come to you as poor, wretched and miserable and needy. Sinners in our minds, sinners in our practices, sinners by our very nature. And yet, we know that like that thief on the cross next to you that day, a couple thousand years ago, there is hope in you. God, cause us to turn to you and utter the sentiment of this thief next to you that day. Remember me. Forgive me. Lord, cleanse me, heal me, save me. I pray that you would work this into us and cause us to properly live for you and honor you with our lives. As we consider this message today, we pray that you would give us the very understanding of who you are and who we are, and cause us to bow before you and surrender to you. Stop trying to earn our own salvation and work that out in ourselves, but rest in Christ. We would ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 25. I want to turn there with me, if you would, and if I can find it, a passage comes to my mind. Verse 41, in this discourse of our Lord, "Then shall he say also unto the left hand, Depart from me." Now, if you've read the whole context or know the context of Matthew 25, he has on his right hand the sheep. And he says to them in verse 32, "Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." In verse 33, "He shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left." And he begins to address them, and then in verse 41, he addresses the left hand, says, "Depart from me. Same word, same thought, same end result. The most terrible words ever heard. I want to consider these things today by seven different comparisons, seven different looks at these words, depart from me, and see what makes them the most terrible words ever heard. The first thing is because of the context. The context here, when the Lord utters these words, we are standing on the very edge of eternity. Now, we may have other bad news in your life and in mine. There will be many times of bad news. There will be the phone calls in the middle of the night, and it's bad news. There will be the doctor that says, I hate to tell you this, but... and it's bad news. There will be in your life and mine many times when the news is bad. Probably no worse than it would have ever been for Job. Think about Job. Job got a lot of bad news in one day. And yet, God restored Job. The context of Job's bad news was not the end of his life on the edge of eternity. The context of Job's bad news was that we can read the book of Job, and those of us that have been going through the Bible chronologically on our daily reading, we recently have read the book of Job, and that fairly quickly, I know it seemed like to Job probably years and decades, but whatever time it was, relatively quickly, God restored Job and gave him 10 more children and gave him double everything he had before. And the Bible tells us that Job lived to see his children and his grandchildren, and I believe it was his great-grandchildren. And fairly quickly, I can say that easily. Now I wasn't going through it, but fairly quickly, Job was restored. The context of Job's bad news was not eternal and was not on the edge of forever. The context of this, depart from me, that's forever, making it the most terrible words ever heard. The second thing that I want to bring to your attention, the reason that it's the most terrible words ever heard, that it is because of who said them. The King. The Creator and the King of the universe looked him in the eye and said, depart from me. Some folks may tell you, may tell me, depart from me. You may have an employer that someday tells you, depart from me. It's not fun. It's not easy. But how many times do we hear of the experience, I'm thankful that I lost that job because then the Lord worked in such a way when I found this job that's even better. And so, in this life, we will hear words, depart from me. You know, guys, when you first saw that lady and you were afraid that's the word you would hear, depart from me. And I would be worried, did I have my hair messed up, or why would she say depart from me? In this life, those words can hurt. But again, we're dealing with why they're the most terrible words because of who said them. This was not an employer that I then can pick up the pieces and go to a new employer and maybe get a better job. This was not a family member that had written me off for some reason and said, "Depart from me. I don't want anything to do with you." This was not even a great lady, or if you're a lady, a great guy that said, "Depart from me." You can rebuild from those things. But this is the Lord of glory, the King of the universe. And He says, in the context of being the King of the kingdom, "Depart from me." There's nothing left. You have nothing. So not only the context in which these words are stated makes them the most terrible words ever heard, but because of who said them. Christ said them. The third reason that I'll bring to your attention, cause you to consider the things that make the third reason that makes this the most terrible words ever heard, because of what's sure to follow, because of context and because of who said them, there's a certain thing that's sure to follow. "Depart from me." Now, there are some things that we get ourselves into that we can maybe sometimes talk our way out of. Now, I don't advise it, and I've not been pulled over for speeding for a very long time. I'm thankful for that. When I have been pulled over for speeding, I haven't tried to talk my way out of it. If I'm honestly speeding and I honestly get caught, I need to pay the ticket, not try to talk my way out of it. There are times when folks get themselves into predicaments that they're able to talk themselves out of it. They're able to come up with reasoning and logic and say, "You know, I don't deserve this judgment," and they can talk themselves out of the situation. But see, one of the reasons that makes "depart from me," as it rolls off the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most terrible words ever heard, would be what is sure to follow. And that is you, or the hearer, departing from Christ. For no one has ever, no one or nothing has ever disobeyed the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. As He looks over the wind and waves and says, "Peace, be still," the wind ceased, the waves stopped. Every time. Not one molecule of this universe is in disobedience to God. And as He then utters these words, "Depart from me," what's sure to follow is the hearer departing from Christ. And what that means is into everlasting fire. Everlasting judgment of God. The most terrible words ever heard. Because of context, because of who said them, because of what is sure to follow. "Depart from me." Luke 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. We have this account of the rich man and Lazarus. It starts out in verse 19, "There was a certain rich man." And verse 20, "There was a certain beggar named Lazarus." And so the Lord is giving this account, I believe, not a parable, I believe there was a rich man and there was a Lazarus. And in the process of time, the rich man died, verse 23, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and may and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. First thing he tries to do is to get some relief. Send Lazarus. Verse 25, Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Lazarus can't get to you. Neither can they pass to us. You can't get to us that would come from thence. There's no getting out, Abraham stated to the rich man. The most terrible words ever heard, depart from me, because of who said them, the context in which they're said, and what is sure to follow, you will depart. And there is no talking your way out of it, and there is no getting out of it. You there for eternity. I don't care how good of a debater you are, you can't talk your way out of this one. And I've had men to tell me that they thought they would stand toe to toe with the Lord and debate their standing with Him. And I couldn't believe my ears when I hear it. And it's not true. The Bible does not ever say that we will stand and give an account. If you read the word carefully, it says we will stand and give account. Very different. I'm not going to give an account. I'm not going to give my side of the story. I'm not going to give the facts presented as I can twist them and turn them and debate them. I'm not going to give an account that gives me the best life. I am going to stand before Him and give account. I'm going to give answer. Period. These are the most terrible words ever heard because of what's sure to follow. Depart. Lazarus wakes up in flame and in torment. I'm sorry, the rich man wakes up in flame and in torment. Lazarus in the arms of Abraham. The most terrible words ever heard. Not only because of these things, but because what I've already indicated, these words cannot be overturned. In other words, what I'm saying is that Jesus is not going to change His mind. Jesus is not going to say, you know what, I've had a different opinion on the situation and I think you've had enough. I think you've learned your lesson. Okay, that great gulf that's fixed between, we'll eliminate that. Part of what makes this the most terrible three words ever heard, depart from me, is the fact that you can't talk your way out of it and He's not going to change His mind. We're dealing with eternity here. He's not going to ever review your case and find something that causes Him to say, I made a mistake. I'm going to change my ruling. You see, in Matthew 24, back over there, go back over there with me, if you would, to Matthew 24 and verse 41. Matthew 24 and verse 41, where the Bible says this, the words of our Lord. Chapter 25, verse 41. Where the Bible says, and again, the words of our Lord, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Notice that, everlasting fire. You read Revelation chapter 20, and you see everlasting. You see those cast into that lake of fire and brimstone for that everlasting judgment. I'm not going to talk your way out of it. It's not going to be overturned. He's not going to change His mind. The most terrible words ever heard, depart from me, falling upon the ears of one
who was very religious. Who those that looked upon would have said, that fella is very religious. And he is sure to go to heaven. Why? Well, because he's very religious. The Pharisees were very religious.
And the Lord called them snakes, vipers, hypocrites, and so on. This group of disciples, the multitude of disciples around him in Matthew 5, very religious. We've done this, we've preached that, we've done this. Depart from me. Their hope was they were resting in the things that they had done. And what they heard, maybe though church members, maybe though they had been baptized, raised in the Lord's church, maybe preachers, I've known preachers that preached for years and then said, I was lost, the Lord saved me last night. But for those religious people, and to have their ears to hear, depart from me. They were resting in the wrong things. And they were hoping in their own efforts. Or they were hoping God wasn't real at all. And they woke up, as it were, after this life, looking Christ in the eye, and he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Most terrible words ever heard. Not only that, but you look in Matthew 5 and you'll see that they're the most terrible words ever heard because of the multitude of people that these words will affect. In Matthew 5, 6 and 7, in Matthew 7, he says, wide and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be that find that. We hear terrible news all the time. We hear of natural disasters, hurricanes, tsunamis, volcanoes. We hear of natural disasters all the time. And we hear terrible news all the time. And it is really hard to hear when a tsunami comes through and takes the lives of a dozen people, 100 people, 1,000 people. That's terrible news. And we mourn over that in our hearts. But this is multitudes of people. This is the multitudes of even those that are religious. The multitudes of people that are going down that wide path. Not seeing the narrow. Because few there be that find it. But these are terrible words because of context, because of who that said them, because of what's sure to follow, because you can't overturn it or get out of it, but of the multitude of people that are going in that direction. Noah, build an ark. A floating box, make it this long, this wide, this high, three layers. Get the animals in there. Get you and your wife in there, three sons and their wives, and get in it. I'll shut the door. You ever think about that? God shut the door and sealed it up around. No one else could get in. And the whole earth was wiped clean. Wiped out, devastated. Few there be that found life inside that ark. That ark is a picture of Christ. The multitudes are going the way of destruction. There's a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof is death.
And the multitudes are blindly going in that way, trusting in whatever, trusting in that He's not real, trusting in that if He is real, I'm good enough. The most terrible words ever heard are, "Depart from me, I am real." And in and of yourselves, you're not good enough. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father. No man cometh to the Father but by or through me." Most terrible words ever heard because of the multitude of people that this will affect. Sixth, most terrible words ever heard because of the times when you were told of Christ and you rejected Him. If you hear those words one day, and if in your life you had multiple times that you heard the message of Christ, you heard of a Savior, you heard of the only one that can save is Jesus. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, Psalms 3:8. And these would be then to you, if you heard and heard, or if you heard once and rejected, the words of life in Christ, the words of salvation found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're standing there that day, and you hear, "Depart from me," and you say, "If I'd only listened back then," but it's too late. Wouldn't that be the most terrible words ever heard? If I had listened, if I had surrendered to Christ, if I had begged Him for mercy, but I rejected Christ. I wouldn't listen to Christ. And now I'm standing before Christ. And He says, "Depart from me." Wouldn't it be the most terrible words ever heard? Look at Acts 24. Acts chapter 24. Paul has been in and out of prison, in and out of house arrest, and standing before a couple of Roman governors off and on. And in Acts chapter 24, we find him here in verse 24 through 27. "And after certain days, when Felix..." Now, along the way, we've met Festus, Agrippa, Felix. And, well, he meets Agrippa in chapter 26. But in chapter 24 here, verse 24, "After certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Felix listened to Paul, this great preacher. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come..." Notice, Paul gave him the whole boat. "Righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Temperance for the life of the believer. Judgment to come by Christ, standing before Him. Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should be given of him, of Paul, that he might lose him." He's hoping Paul would try to bribe him. "Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room
And Felix, willing to show the Jew pleasure, left Paul bound. So this went off and on for a couple of years. Paul preaching. Now we know what Paul preached. Commanded all men everywhere to repent. That's what Paul preached at Mars Hill in Acts 17. We know that Paul preached repentance towards God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, a turning. A life that is changed by God and a turning from the old ways to Christ. And trusting, not that turning, but the faith that one would have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me. And He turned me. And Paul preached these things to Felix. Off and on, Paul preached these things. He would come in and commune with Paul. But he said one day, go thy way and I'll call you when I have a more convenient time. I really don't want to talk about this anymore, Paul. I'll call you when it's more convenient. I'll call you when I feel like talking about this some more. After hearing the message of Christ, after hearing the message of salvation found only in Him, after hearing the fact of our own depravity and our need for Christ, after hearing of the judgment, the coming judgment of Christ, Felix throws it all out the door and says, you know what, Paul, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Agrippa said about the same thing, almost you persuaded me, Paul. Paul said, I wish that you were almost and altogether persuaded. Felix, today, still yet today, has to face eternity saying in his own mind, I told Paul to go away. I'll talk to you some other day, Paul, when it's more convenient. Maybe when I get older and I settle down. Maybe when I get older and I realize maybe I'm going to have to face my mortality fairly soon, then I'll talk to you, Paul. But he pushed him away. And for 2 years, they communed and they talked, but for the most part, Felix would have nothing to do with it. And 2 years later, decided to just keep him bound. Imagine the words ringing in Felix's ears. Depart from me. And the thought that would run through his mind, had I listened, if I had only listened. How many times do we hate to admit that, but if I'd listened to my parents, you know, if I'd listened to this one that had wisdom and I didn't. But this is eternity. This can never be changed, overturned, overthrown. Most terrible words that Felix would have ever heard. Depart from me. And lastly, I bring to your attention that they're the most terrible words, as I ponder on Felix, most terrible words because they could have been avoided. Because Christ came to seek and to save the lost. We read that in Luke 19:10. Because that what we could have realized had we been listening to Paul, what Felix could have realized had he been listening to Paul, what many could have realized had they been listening to the Word of God, all of my effort, all rolled in together, is nothing. Paul describes in Romans 10 about those that were trying to establish their own righteousness. And we read it in Matthew 7, those religious folks that said, I've done this and I've done that. And we also have it in Mark. Turn with me in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10, verse 25. Mark chapter 10 and verse 25 through 27. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Now, Jesus wasn't making some kind of acute metaphor here. He was stating a fact. A camel cannot go through an eye of a needle. It can't happen. But a part of the message of Paul and a part of the gospel message found in the New Testament, in the whole Bible, is that verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. You can't save yourselves, but Christ can. Saving yourself would be like trying to take a camel through the eye of a needle. He's not describing something that's difficult, friend. He's describing something that is impossible. And what makes the words "depart from me" the most terrible words ever heard is that if Felix and untold numbers of people like Felix had listened to the gospel message, the gospel message would not have turned themselves to their own effort, but it would have turned them to Christ. Because in ourselves we cannot. With men, the question they had, who then can be saved? The answer from the Lord, with men it is impossible. But with God, you see, all things are possible. And Felix heard the message, and untold numbers of multitudes have heard the message and said, no. No. Maybe their thought was, there is no God. I don't have to worry about it. Maybe their thought was, I'm good enough on my own. My good will outweigh my bad. Maybe their thought was, I'm really not that good, but I'll transform myself and make myself good. And the answer to all of that is no. You can't. I can't. With man, he did not say, the Lord under that we have recorded for us in this inspired book did not say, with man it is very difficult to save himself. He said, with man, it is impossible. And Felix heard the words of Paul, and multitudes have heard the words of the gospel. And what if they reject and reject and reject? What they will hear is, depart from me. I never knew you. Don't ignore the gospel call. You know, the Bible does say, turn with me, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You've been translated from that broad way that leads to destruction onto that narrow way that leads to life. That way that he said, few there be that find it. Don't reject him. Don't reject the message of Christ, Savior. Don't be like Felix and say, I'll talk about that more some other day. More convenient time. I wonder if Felix is still saying, more convenient time, more convenient time. Felix, time for you is over. Most terrible words you could have ever heard. Depart from me. Contrasting to the thief on the cross who knew he had nothing and knew he brought nothing and knew he had zero ability. He's nailed to a cross. And he just turns to the Lord and says, remember me. And the Lord's response, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Altogether different. Come to Christ. The gospel call that goes out is universal. Come to Christ. Revelation ends basically, and we'll go there and close. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. The Spirit of Almighty God, the Spirit that Christ said He would send as He was leaving, the Spirit and the Bride, the Lord's Church, say this, come. The Spirit of God and the Lord's Church, the Lord's churches across this earth, say, come. Come this way. Follow Christ. Don't be Felix. And say, I'll talk to you more about this later. You don't know that you have a later. Brother Keener was preaching and he was relating a story where he had talked with a man after a morning message. In this case, he just happened to ride a motorcycle. And he said, you're coming back tonight. He wasn't a church member. He'd been working with him about his soul. He never made a profession of Christ. Never had any indication that the Lord had ever worked on his heart. Brother Keener said, won't you come back tonight? He said, no, I got to go over to the next town this afternoon. I won't be back tonight. And he said, and he looked him in the eye and he said, one of these days, you're going to ride your bike and you're going to get in a wreck and you're going to wake up in eternity. He said, come back to church tonight. Talk with me more about Christ. That afternoon, the man got in a motorcycle wreck and died. We don't have a promise of another 5 seconds. The Spirit and the Bride, the Spirit of Almighty God, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ say, come! Verse 17 goes on to say, and let him that is athirst come. Are you thirsty? Have you ever been made thirsty by Christ? I pray that you are. I pray that God has worked in you a thirst for Him. If you're thirsty, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Because the most terrible words ever heard would be, depart from me. Depart from me. If you died today, would you hear those words? If you woke up in eternity today, would you hear those words? And if your answer to that question is no, why? Why do you think you won't hear those words? If your answer goes along the line of something like, well, I've done this, and that's the answer of the folks in Matthew 7. And he told them to depart. But if your answer goes along the line of, Christ saved me. He shed His own blood to die for me. I won't hear those words because Christ drank up the wrath of God for me. I didn't earn it. He gave it to me as a gift.
I couldn't have earned it in 1,000 lifetimes. But he, in one brief life, one brief perfect life, and laying down his life on that cross, bought and paid for my salvation. I won't hear those words because Christ died for me. Now you're on the right track. Will you hear those words? Don't rest until you've answered that question. Don't push it aside. Don't try to ignore it. Don't try to be like Felix and say, I'll talk about this some other time. Wrestle with that and grapple with that and settle it. Will I hear those words? I pray that you will not, because of Christ. I pray that in His mercy He will look upon you as He looked upon the thief and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. But that's a question that can only be answered between you and He. But it is a question that you need to answer. Let us stand. If in the Word of God I can